Then we will go ahead with our reading.
1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit.
To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues.
But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills.
For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members are one body,
for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit.
So thank you, Lord, for that reminder that we are all one in you, and just as our bodies have different parts that contribute to our body, to the functioning of it, we all have different gifts, and you bestow upon us different gifts at different times, Lord, to serve your purposes and to unify the body. So we just pray, Lord, that you will help us again to understand your will and your ways as we go through your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So today, looking at the gifts of the working of miracles and discerning of spirits. Number one on your worksheet. There are many miracles recorded in the Bible, and God has continued to do miracles even to the present time. So that's the word present. He gives us his presence to the present, his gifts. Thinking about, you know, miracles in the Bible, I wonder how many miracles are recorded in the Bible. There'd be quite a few, right? Old Testament, plenty of miracles. Jesus' ministry, the apostles, others in the book of Acts, miracles. The first miracle ever recorded, though, you could argue, would be Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as someone has said, If you can believe that, then you can believe the rest of the things in the Bible. A man being swallowed by a great fish or a whale, not a well, unless it's that Jonah play. It was a well. Sorry, that's sort of an inside joke. But if you can believe that, you can then God is God. Paul says when he's in Acts 26, when he's given his defense to King Agrippa, he says, why would it seem incredible to you that God would raise the dead? He's God, right? That was the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were all messed up as far as Jesus was concerned. But the Sadducees, they didn't believe. They were a certain sect. They were the liberals, I guess. They didn't believe in three things. They didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. And that's why they were so sad, you see, you know, so as they say, right? So I preach to myself, right? Because we believe in the living God, right? And he does miracles. Paul says in Colossians, to this end, I strive, warning every man and teaching every man, or every person, really. And that's, I feel that's a, for sure, my job, our job, as we share the word, share the Lord with people, is to warn people and to teach them. And to, in other words, There's the false stuff out there, and I'm very careful to protect myself and others from that, but I don't want to go too far to where I, you know, act like I don't believe God could do a miracle or something, you know, kind of like when they were praying for, when Peter got, you know, James gets killed with a sword, James, the brother of John, this is Acts 12, read it for yourself, and then Herod sees that pleased the Jews, so he throws Peter in prison, and intending to kill him, but it's a feast day, so he's going to wait till the feast is over. Peter's incarcerated, four squads of chained to four squads of soldiers, And it says there that the church was praying fervently for Peter. You know, what were they praying? Did he have a good meal in prison? Probably not. They were probably praying for his release. But when he does miraculously get released by the angel, he comes knocking on the door, they don't even believe it. You know, they don't believe it. They think that Rhoda, the girl that answered the door, said, "Yeah, you're crazy," you know. And then finally they say, well, it must be his angel. But so anyway, just to have the faith to believe that God can do these miracles, but also to know that he does these things for his purposes and for his glory, right? So, and so thinking of modern day miracles, I know that these things happen, that God can raise the dead. You hear of these things happening on missions fields. I hear from other reputable sources, people have seen, maybe not that literally. I don't know if you have. Maybe you've seen someone raised from the dead. You hear stories of those kinds of things. But again, some of that is the what we call the woo-woo, phony stuff, just chasing money or whatever. Usually it is for chasing money. But God can do, you know, miracles. And I put something on Telegram this morning. Again, I talked about this before at the Kansas City Men's Retreat. Our speaker was Zach Adams. He's a pastor, Calvary Chapel pastor in Atlanta. His father, Sandy Adams, is older than me, and he's been a Calvary Chapel pastor for years. Zach is right around 40 now, but when he was 38, he got COVID, and he was in a coma for 40 days or so, and just really, they said, they told his family, just put your things in order or whatever. He's going to die, you know. He was the only, anyway, I put that on Telegram. He spoke again at the pastor's conference just recently in Philadelphia, and he gives that same testimony. And it's really worth listening to if you're interested. But I would consider his situation a miracle because there were over 1,000 people praying for him. That's like he says, it's nice to be part of Calvary Chapel because you have a big family, you know. And so word got out. I didn't even hear about it myself when it happened, but there were lots of people praying for him. And the Lord brought him back from almost virtually from the dead, not literally, but he was dying. His kidneys were failing. His lungs were all shot. His oxygen level was way low. And even after he revived, they said, your lungs will never be the same. And now that they've done scans and they're clear. So that's miraculous, you know? And so praise the Lord for that. Right. For myself personally, I can't think the closest thing I can think. It was definitely a miracle. And God was glorified in it. Cause you know, we've talked about witnessing. I know when John shared that not that long ago about these stickers that we have on our cars, you know, and people see them, and you think, oh, why didn't I say more or whatever? I can really be a hand wringer about that, you know. Oh, I should have said more, even to the point of starting to feel condemned. And so you have to counsel me that condemnation doesn't come from the Holy Spirit, you know. But really, since we're only on point one, I don't want to go too far into this, but a lot of you know back in November 2017, I was hit by a semi truck, really clipped. It sounds so dramatic to say I was hit by a semi. My Nissan Sentra was clipped. The guy hit my back quarter, and my car went perpendicular to the 80 highway, middle of the day, plenty of cars going full speed. And that same semi, I just was driving and kind of musing with the Lord about something. And then I just hear this noise. And then I look up, and it's during this, it's November, but it was dry roads. But it's that feeling when you hit ice and you're going perpendicular. I'm like, and I just said, oh, Lord, you know, and I'm going perpendicular. And this, and it's that same semi hitting his brakes. And he hit me he was just right there, you know, and he just pushed me down the highway, perpendicular down the highway. Cars everywhere, and came to a stop. And nobody was hurt, and nobody else crashed, and we all got, you know, later when the policeman, the highway patrol, I was taking the information down for me, I couldn't help but say, you know, this is a God thing. But even before that, when I was standing on the side and I guess still in shock, some lady came out of nowhere. I don't think it was an angel, but she came out of nowhere and said, I'm a reserve fire fighter, and I'm studying to be a paramedic. Are you okay? And she was she was like touching me. I'm fine. And then another lady came up and she said, were you in that car? And I said, yes. And she said, holy something. And so, and at that moment, I just spontaneously just looked at him and said, it's Jesus. And so then later, the Lord says, stop hand wringing about when you're going to give witness to me, you know? And so God just used all that for a witness. So that's my story. I've got witnesses, kind of. Did anyone still have pictures on your phone? I don't know. I'm not making this up. So God, he does miracles, and we know that. I think of even our brother, our elder brother, Terry Klinger, and his testimony, just a miracle, just darkness to light in one day, in one moment, you know, just alcoholism to never touching a drop, you know. Just amazing. And my sister back there and my brother who's in heaven and my other brother, they're all part of this, you know, and they don't move in the woo-woo. They don't always talk woo-woo, you know. They're just you know them well, you know. And one time you heard this at the funeral, but you know, Terry, I could hear that story over and over and over. I love testimony. I want to hear yours again, actually. It's because we were so many people that day. I get so distracted, you know. But I love testimonies. And so one day we were just eating at the Klingers, and Sharon just quiet, you know. And I just, in general, like Terry's more the storyteller, you know. And I said, Sharon, what was it like for you? And that's when she shared, well, God spoke to me and he just said, pack your bags and get out of my way, you know. And so it's just, the Lord really moves that way in lives, you know. And then when after Terry prayed the prayer with the pastor on the phone, he went next to the duplex next door to tell, because the pastor said, tell someone, you know, confess it to someone. So he knocks on Anthony's door, and Anthony opens the door. Terry doesn't say a word, and Anthony looks at him and says, you just accepted the Lord, didn't you? It's just amazing. It's just amazing. God really does. Did you know that our God is alive? You know, he's alive. So that's a wonderful thing. So number two, the gift of the working of miracles seems to be connected to the gift of faith. Seems to be connected to the gift of faith. I blew it again. I blew it. I was going to say it by now. I want to look at Acts chapter 5, and then after that, Acts chapter 19, the verses that are on there. I'm going to probably summarize the John 5 passage, probably. we're going to look at Acts chapter 5. This would be Peter, just two verses, but just so you have it on the board. Acts chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, thinking of the gift of faith and the working of miracles. So in the middle there, and believers were increasingly, this is after Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead. So there's fear going throughout the church and reverence, you know, that's what godly fear is, a reverence for God. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by some of them, fall on some of them, sorry, butchered that. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So again, it's not, you know, it's not Peter's shadow that did it, it's just people's faith in that. It's like, as you, you know the story of the woman with the issue of blood, it wasn't necessarily the edge of Jesus's garment, but her faith that would heal her, and that happened. So then the other passage would be Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. This is Paul. This is very interesting to me. Acts chapter 19. Starting in verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Can I pause there? Notice it doesn't say that Paul started this hanky ministry. Well, I guess I should read on, because people have done that. They'll send handkerchiefs in the mail. Send in your money and get, you know, more handkerchiefs and you'll be healed. But, and this just says, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body, from Paul's body, to the sick, and the disease left them and the evil spirits went out of them. That's just Paul doing his tent making job, his secular job. When you're bivocational, right, they call, like for me, my tent making job is being a counselor. So Paul's tent making job was tent making. That was his, and he had a whole purpose we won't get into for why he constantly worked as much as he could to earn his own way, not to get paid for the ministry. He argues, you can look that up in 1 Corinthians 9. I'll leave that at that. But those are amazing miracles, right? Just taking somebody's sweatband and putting on someone that is sick or whatever, and they're healed. That's a miracle. But there's faith, right? They believe that would happen. The John 5 passage, we don't have to turn there, but just that's just where Jesus goes to that pool where there's all kinds of people that are handicapped, crippled, lame, sick, laying around this pool, right? But that's another interesting thing because he goes there for one person. Yes, there's many passages. Well, it does say anyone who came to Jesus, I don't know if you can argue that it's true, I think, in the scripture, if anyone comes to him and asks for healing, he heals them, I believe. But in that case, he went with a purpose to heal one guy. And that guy had very little faith because you know the story. He said, would you like to be made whole? He says, well, I'd like to, but I can't get in the water. Someone who gets in the water before me, you have to read the passage. I think you know that story. If not, read the passage. The stirring of the water and the belief that an angel did that and the first one in the pool would be healed. But the guy says, well, I can't. I can't get in quick enough. And he's just kind of giving his reasons. And Jesus says, get up and take up your mat and go home. And he's healed. So Jesus had the faith, but the miracle was done, even though the guy had no faith, just like Peter was released from prison, no matter how much the people, I mean, I pray earnestly. We're praying for people to get saved, but, you know, there's just that wonderful shock when it happens, right? So, but it definitely seems to be connected to the gift of faith, but we do see that that happens, right, in the Bible and as we talked about in our day as well. So then we go to the gift of the discerning of spirits. Number three, Jesus had the gift of the discerning of spirits. Jesus had the gift of the discerning of spirits. I put in parentheses there, we're going to go to, if you can, go to Matthew 16, 21. The only reason I have Philippians 2, 7 there and Acts 10, 38 there listed under number three is, again, Philippians 2, 7 talks about how Jesus being equal to God did not consider it, you know, robbery to something to hang on to, but he emptied himself. And that means he still fully God, but he did not just have these automatic powers, if you will, that he had as God. He sought the Father, right? He depended on the power of the Spirit. He didn't do any miracles until after his baptism and the Spirit came upon him. And then Acts 10:38, I've never read that to you, but I've referred to it a lot. It just basically talked about Jesus did his works in the power of the Spirit. Acts 10:38 is Peter's in the middle of preaching to Cornelius and his gang, and he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So that just shows you that Jesus, he's the God-man. He was still a man, but he was that in tune with the Lord. And he was gifted. He was given, he was the model for us, right? When he was tempted in the desert, how did he fight the temptation? With scripture. That's how we fight temptation. And we run, right? Or we stand against it, depending on what it is, I guess. So Jesus had the gift of the discerning of spirits. And then Matthew 16, that's the story after Jesus, you know, he asked his disciples, who do you say I am? And they say, this guy, or who do people say I am? Well, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And then a little bit after that, Jesus starts talking about the cross, right? And Peter steps up and says, that will never happen to you. And what does he say to Peter? get behind me, Satan. So that's the discerning of spirits. It was obviously, you know, Satan didn't want Jesus to go to the cross. So that's an example of the discerning of spirits in Jesus's life and ministry. Number four, we see the gift of discerning of spirits in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. This is where, so leading up to that, Acts 16, this is during Paul's second missionary journey. And he picks up Timothy along the way. So he's got Silas and Timothy. And anyway, they end up going to Philippi. Paul has a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come over here and help us. That's the second missionary journey is where the gospel, at least through Paul, reaches Europe. Because they go there, when they cross over there to go and they end up in Philippi, they're now in what we call Europe. And also, by the way, just as a bonus for you, that's where Luke, who's the writer of Acts, starts using the terms we and us. So that must be about the time when Paul met Luke, because before that, he's writing in the book of Acts in third person. So they're there, and the vision of a man seeing come over here. They don't see a man, but they see women praying by the river. And again, I won't get into all the why they're by the river, but because then I get down too many trails there. But they meet a lady named Lydia, and Paul preaches the gospel, and Lydia gets saved. And then after that, it says here in verse 17, well, just before that, they go to prayer. And that's an interesting thing. They're now gathered in prayer. And don't you know, when you go to pray, the devil wants to fight any way he can. For me, it's often my sinuses start acting up or something, you know. Not every time, but it could just be the mind wandering, whatever. But here, they're going to prayer, and it says there that there was a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination that met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. And then this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, the gift of annoyance, just kidding. Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out that very hour. What I like about this example is we have the backstory that she was demon-possessed. But on the face value, she was telling the truth. These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. That's pretty good, huh? But it's coming from the enemy camp. We don't want the enemy doing the advertising for the Lord. Because just give her time and the falseness would come out. And that's the purpose of the gift of the discerning of spirits. Because we have our Bible. This is the best gift we could. I mean, just to know the Word of God, that's the best baloney meter. But God does give us baloney meters. That's what we call them, you know, the gift of the discerning of spirits. Because sometimes maybe we don't know the Bible well. It's a gift, right? I think of, well, I'll get to that as we get further. We're almost there. I can share this now. My mom, right before she got saved, the Mormons were coming to our house. I was in my 20s and still living at home, but just I was saved and just busy working and going to church and going to university and all that. And I'm just so glad for the Holy Spirit, because I believe debating with the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, I was doing that, but they were coming to our house. I'm just thinking back, why didn't I punch them out? I'm just kidding. But I just know they were meeting with my mom. And I got saved right around, well, the late 70s, 1980. My mom got saved in 82. But looking back, she said, yeah, they came, and I was almost going to sign up. But she said, something just didn't seem right, you know, and that's the Holy Spirit, and that's the discerning of spirits, you know. And lest I forget, John chapter 16, verse 13, which I didn't put on your outline, but you might want to jot that or on your worksheet. That's where Jesus says that the Spirit will guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit's not going to contradict the Bible. He'll guide us into all truth. And so that's the point there. Paul just, he knew, maybe the other people knew as well, but sometimes we have the gift. And those, most of you were around a year, about a year ago, actually. Yeah. When someone was here with us for a while, and a sister back there said, she pulled me aside a couple of times and said, I got a check with him. My check's been wrong before, but I got a check, and her check was right. And so we had the person was a wolf. And so, and actually too, I'm not even saying that person isn't saved, but, he's a wolf as far as my family's concerned. So, I'm thankful for the gift of the discerning of spirits. Just need to pray for the gift of the stubborn pastor to yield, I guess. or the nice guy, the guy with the gift of mercy. That's the thing. That's a whole nother tangent I won't go on, but you can misuse the gift of mercy too, you know? So anyway, so number five, why do we need to discern spirits? And we've already kind of talked about it, but this is right out of the 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. The spirits, you know, it's not so much, ooh, the spirit of this and the spirit of that. He's got the spirit. No, it's your flesh. Yes, the devil wants to help out with that. But the discerning of spirits is knowing someone is of the right spirit. You know, we've kind of got something else we're sort of mulling around right now about that. Like, that's all I can say about that. But yeah, so I mentioned my mom and her, the LDS coming to our home, and they were, I think they had the flannel board out and all that, and showing the whole thing. God guides us, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Jesus, when asked about the end times, Matthew 24, verse 11, he says, many false prophets will come and deceive many in the end time, in the tribulation. And we know by Luke, what's said in Luke 21, that we're going to see the signs of the tribulation before we go up. And we're seeing those signs now. The globalism, Israel back in the land, that's the super sign. The immorality, like it's like Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus said. It'll be like Sodom and Gomorrah, very immoral. It'll be like the days of Noah, very violent, much evil. And he warns his disciples that when they ask him, tell us, when will these things be? When will your coming be? When will the temple be destroyed? Because he just predicted the temple was going to be destroyed. And he said, first thing that he says, before he gets into any other eschatological discussion, he says, take heed that no one deceives you. So there are deceivers out there, and they look just like us. That's why they're deceptive. But number six on your sheet, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Matthew 7:15, and then are on your sheet. Ravenous means extorting, like extortion. Ravenous means extorting, like it's they're ripoff artists, literally extortion. I looked it up. It's more is like blackmail. It's like taking by force or by threat, but that's what blackmail is. But that's what the wolves are. You know, they have sheep's clothing. They look just like us. They sound just like us. And the other thing they got to be really careful about is a lot of false prophets and some false preachers are 99% accurate in what they share, you know, 99% truth, or maybe 93, I don't know. But, you know, but there's just, you know, that's why the Old Testament, they'd say if a prophet misses on one prophecy, a so-called prophet, the Lord said, stone them to death. They're a false prophet, right? But extortion, that word for extortion, that's there in Matthew 7:15, it's used four other times. The point is ravenous means extortion. It's used five times. You'll have to use your lexicon. I'm not going to give you the verses. I don't have them off the top of my head. But the other four times, in at least my New King James, it says extortion. I can give you a hint. It's definitely in 1 Corinthians 5 after he talks about the immoral man. But if you look that up, just look up in English, or I'll put it on Telegram, or you can ask me afterwards. But isn't that interesting? Outside, they're ravenous wolves. They're extorting. They're ripoff artists. And that's what That's why if anyone is claiming these great things of healing and there's money being collected, don't buy it. No pun intended, but don't. It's false. And a lot of the things on TV, what are they doing on TV and ripping off, like it says in 2 Timothy 3, you can tell I'm passionate about this, but it's true. They rip off people that are gullible, people on Social Security giving money, you know, and it's just wrong. Why don't these ministries ever set themselves up in third world countries? Because they're fake, they're false. So, but we want to, everything in this, I want to have a balance. I don't want everything's fake, because it's not, everything isn't fake. A lot is fake in America. A lot is fake in this country. And so Jesus will go on to say there in Matthew 7, right? You know them by their fruit. So give it time. That's what came about with the person that was here last year. Finally, there was this obvious fruit that this person was lying to me, was accepting rides to church from me. And he assured me before that what I was concerned about was not a concern, but that he was lying to me. So that's a wolf. That's wolf behavior. But again, you'll know them by their fruit, but the gift of the discerning of spirits is a gift that God gives before maybe the fruit is shown, if that makes sense. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, and so just a little more on that vein, number 7 on your sheet, the coming of the, this will be the end times, the Antichrist. Paul says this, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Just like the magicians in the days of Egypt, right? Moses did his miracles. Pharaoh's Egyptians would mimic them. They couldn't mimic everything. I know they mimicked the serpents, and then Moses and Aaron's serpents swallowed up theirs. They couldn't mimic the lice. I think I haven't done a study. That'd be a good study to find out which one. I know you think, well, good for them, right? But you think that I've got a theory on that one, because a lot of times false prophets in the Bible, and I think out here, they prophesy, oh, the Lord's got blessings for you, this and that. And I see a vision of millions of people and millions of dollars, all this grandiose stuff. Not that all that's false. Pastor Chuck had something like that prophesied over him when his church had 23 people, that the church was going to be known around the world. So that was a legitimate prophecy. But I just think, but, you know, and then you get in other parts, you know, where Ahab, you know, he calls the prophets of Baal to ask how this is going to work in war. He's with Jehoshaphat, who's the godly king of Judah, and Ahab's the wicked king of Israel, and he's calling on these prophets, and Jehoshaphat says, well, isn't there a prophet of the Lord that can come and prophesy? I say, yeah, there's this one guy, Micah, but I hate him. He always prophesies negative things about me, and he didn't want to call the guy, and so they call the guy, and sure enough, he prophesies that you're not going to make it, you know, and then they throw him in prison, and so, but I don't know if that's true. You can check that out. Look at the, because I haven't taken the time to study it, but the plagues of Egypt, all I know is they could mimic other things, the frogs and the whatever, blood, they probably use watercolor, right? Whatever. But the lice, they couldn't mimic. So, but the point is, there was false prophets then. And by the way, just peeking up there, number 5, where it says, see also 2 Peter 1, we won't turn there, but that's where Peter says there were false prophets then, and there are false teachers now. So they're always there. You just always have to be discerning. The best thing I can say is pray for the gift of discernment, but read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray every single day, every single day, right? We used to sing that with Corson on Wednesday nights. And the Bible is just the best, you know. God doesn't do anything outside of that. So lying signs and wonders, the reference there on your number 7, Revelation 13:3 and 13 verses 13 and 14 talk about this, the Antichrist apparently raising from the dead, you know, however that's pulled off. Satan has powers, but he also has his smoke and mirrors. And then it also talks about the false prophet there doing all these lying signs and wonders and deceiving the people. I guarantee you, when we go up in the rapture, whenever we might be dead, I don't know, but whoever gets to go up in the rapture, I hope it's us. The Holy Spirit, the restraining power, the salt and light that the churches is gone. And look how deceived people are already. It's going to be horrible deception on that time. So all that to say is, I borrowed this one from David Jeremiah. This isn't an exact quote, but it's close enough. We believe in miracles, and we pray for them, but we don't schedule them, right? God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And, you know, as Laura was praying for Terry, the other Terry that has terminal cancer, I was thinking of my friend. I put that on Telegram too, Pastor Raymond, whose dad has ALS, and it's really bad. He can't talk now, and I've learned a lot more about the scary parts of ALS, and I think, well, pray big. I'm going to pray big that God heals him. And I don't know if you have something, you know, I have a list of narcissists. I mean, really, really difficult ones that they're not going to change humanly. My counseling's not going to change them. They need a move of God in there. So I pray, I'm not as consistent as I'd like to be, but I just want to make sure when I get to heaven, I didn't get rewarded for praying for someone's cold or something. I want to pray big, you know. But the working of miracles, I don't want to minimize that as a gift. That is something that just happens, you know, that it can happen instantly. I mean, that, and we believe God for that. So just to give the final balance, number eight, this is the last part of the book of Mark, the last verse of the book of Mark. It's written in the King James Version on your sheet because of the way it reads. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. With signs following. So they preached the word. They were faithful to the word, and the signs followed. I didn't make the point that the number one on your sheet, you have 2 Corinthians 12:12. That's where Paul talks about the signs of an apostle, signs and wonders. That miracles would accompany the apostles, that they sometimes accompany a new work. Acts 8:5-8, Philip, he wasn't an apostle, but when he went to preach in Samaria, the great miracles, demons being cast out, and he was preaching Jesus, though. Read the text. The point is, we just put first things first. That's the Lord. That's the gospel. That's the cross. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, right? He was buried. He rose again the third day. He ascended to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit. You put your trust in him, the Holy Spirit seals you. And he comes upon you in power. You can ask the Lord for the baptism of the Spirit. But even if you don't, I guarantee you, I've seen it, where he will come upon a person if they're walking in faith. And he gives them that power. So the point of that is the signs follow that. Because so there the signs are following the word, and they're following the believers. It's not believers following signs, looking after signs. Because when we do that, then we get into what's described in Ephesians chapter 4, that we should, verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Is that enough deception in one sentence? Listen to this again. Carried away with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And that's the devil working through men and women that are fake and phony. So, but there is the real deal too. And that's Jesus. And when he's working by the power of his Spirit. So that's where we are today. We will pick up and move quicker through chapter 12. And then we'll pick up some more gifts. And eventually we'll be done with this study. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who wrote the word, who teaches us the word, and guides us into all truth, tells us of things to come, comforts us, on and on, what you do for us, Holy Spirit. We thank you. And we thank you for the word of God. And we thank you for the gift of the discerning of spirits. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of working miracles. And we do pray that you would purify your church, and that you would do the miracles that you see fit that will draw more and more to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing one together. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the